And welcome to the Remnant Radio Hour. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy. And we are supposed to have Suzette Robinson, our special guest, on this series for the preparedness skills for the bride tonight. Shalom.
Shalom. How are you?
All right. So, how are you tonight, Suzette?
I'm good.
All right. We've been talking about preparedness skills, you know, particularly in crisis situations or when, you know, things may be for a long term, not so hot. And I was just wanting to share that it has been a crazy, crazy hour and day for me. But, you know, really, this has just really been multiplying for so many brothers and sisters as we are coming close to Passover and this time of the year. And I, you know, we have people on this that we all know through the radio broadcast and teachers, and some of those that you don't know, that we're facing no jobs. Husbands have no jobs or partial jobs. You know, our situation is my husband has, you know, any day, maybe no job, but a partial job. And we've been looking for work. We have, you know, really pray for another sister who's on the radio and, you know, her husband has lost his job. We have another family, and these are blue collars and white collar workers. Another husband has lost his job. Another one got arrested today because he didn't have a bumper on his car.
Goodness.
And, you know, some people don't have the money to keep fixing and doing things. They're just trying to make it. And so they find themselves not with the proper car for authorities for them to get back and forth to work. We have another brother and sister, you know, their father has fallen again and broken a hip and he can't endure surgery. And so we have so many different kinds of situations where, for instance, the one who's in jail, you know, his wife and children, they've lost their income because the husband was the only one working. And, you know, some of us others, you know, we have some food supplies. We have some things that can get us a buy, and we pray and hope that there'll be some jobs in between. But this is really something you need to take serious because in these times, and what's happening with the economy is just a domino effect. And for many of us, you know, it gets bad for a while, but then it seems to be okay. But then it really, it went deeper than that. And then there's this ripple effect. So, and now it's starting to hit again. We're having this other wave of job losses. And so this is something you really need to consider and get prepared for the best you can. And Suzette, you wanted to talk about kind of city versus country.
Yes. Sometimes it may seem like you and I are kind of on different planets or something, because my things are kind of often seem different for survival than what somebody may be thinking. You are much more already down the path of homesteading and self-sufficiency, where I live in the urban environment. I'm in the outskirts of Detroit, the suburbs of the outer suburbs of Detroit. And so what I need to think about for if things happen is very different than what you may face. Like, you have to worry about grizzly bears and rattlesnakes and wolves.
Well, no rattlesnakes where I live.
I have to
yes.
worry about the urban, you know, masses that may freak out when things go bad. And we are working at trying to get out of the city, and that's in Father's hands. But wherever we are, we have to think about what is the situation that may be that we might be in with an emergency anywhere, whether it's where we live and whatever kind of environment that is, or whether we're traveling.
Absolutely. And it really is about adapting to your environment. You have your, you know, the environment that you normally live in, the environment that maybe, you know, what if you work in the city and you live in the country? What if you're traveling? These are really things to take into consideration, you know, give some thought as to what you're going to do. And again, we decided, you know, 19 years ago, we needed to start homesteading and relocate and get away from the big cities. So it's not an overnight process, but I can tell you there's still so much to learn. And sometimes you get tired and just stop doing it too. So, but sure, if you're in the city for sure, you have a different, you know, you can pick your poison. You have more issues, I think, with dealing with people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And the
that's a different
breakdown of
problem.
supplies, because most everything we rely on right now, our water is city water. We do heat with wood. You know, right now that's still legal, Prejean in Michigan, and we have a good supply. But, you know, most everything we have is because it's just, you know, it's city provided. And unless we're prepared in our home, which is a lot of what's off of this list and things that we've made sure that we have, if things break down, you know, we would be hurting, and a lot of people will be because they're very used to just running to the grocery store and having everything available.
Absolutely. And it really pays to consider your situation and just pray about it, because you have to deal with what's in front of you now. And again, we might prepare and we might be taken, or we might end up being nomadic and the next wave of people come in. We don't know. There might be refugees taking over what we have, or governing authorities. We might be with the Agenda 21, et cetera, trying to force us back to the cities. But it would behoove all of us to consider, in city or country, what is what are our obstacles and what we have to overcome, and learn as much as we can.
Yeah, and the basic thing, the really big thing about this whole series and this class is really for people to just think about, how do I not depend on everybody else and the system for everything I need? And how do I adapt whatever the condition may be, what I have and what I have available, or what I have put in place, or my skills and my understanding, so that I can survive and get through this crisis, however long it may be. And that's
Right.
really the biggest thing.
And again, we need to remind the listeners that this is making the assumption that you have a relationship with Yeshua and Yahweh, and that you have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to guide you, because that is first and foremost. Father can sustain you through that, and that's number one. But he also doesn't expect us, I think, to sit and do nothing. The Hebrew mindset is we are doers. We're not just thinkers. So as we say, think about these and consider them. You need to also pray and hear from him and see what little things that you could do on a weekly, monthly basis to work towards doing something.
Absolutely. Father could get you through anything regardless of preparation or not. But we just want to be, like you said, doers and know that we are taking action. I think a lot of it as a testimony and a witness to others, and knowing that we trust his word, that it's coming true and things are happening and we're not sticking our heads in the sand.
Amen. Okay, so we have going continue with this list, and just want to let the listeners know that next week we will address and go over some first aid basics with essential oils. I will talk about a couple of herbs, but we will do kind of an overview on essential oils that you can have in your first aid kit and/or to have for times when you're going to need it. And we encourage you to learn to do it now and use it now so that you don't have to spend all that money on doctors and medications, but also for in the future. So, with that being said, we're going to skip over the essential oils today, but we are in the list with the ease. And we are going to first talk about one of my favorite books, The Encyclopedia of Country Living, Miss Suzette.
Amen. That's awesome. And I
So
think
you
you know
want to
about
tell us
that one
about
because I
that
don't think I
book and
have
how
that one
many
in my
revisions have there
library.
been? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I think you have that one in your library. I don't think I have that one in mine.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't bring it because I thought you had it, but I have it in the other office. But basically, if I was to run away with one book besides my Bible, I would run away with Carla Emery's book, The Encyclopedia of Country Living. I saw the first edition of this like 20 years ago, and it has grown. I think the latest one I have is a sixth edition, but it's a wonderful book. She covers everything just about you could imagine, from farms, livestock, canning, herbs, you know, how to make soap, just anything that you could imagine. She's got something there for you. And the book also has links and some supply information. It's a very thick book. I'd say it's at least 2 inches thick. And she learned how to do this. I forget with how many children, I want to say 11,
Wow.
totally with nothing, you know, none of the backups, and how to do it with very little money. And so I really encourage you, if you buy one preparedness homesteading get back to basic skill book, that would be my number one choice.
And I have heard of it, and if I had it, it sounds familiar to me, but maybe I loaned it or something because I couldn't find it and it's not on my list. But I will have to make sure that I put that in my library because an all-around book is really good. Like you said, if we have to only carry one book besides our Bible, we want to make sure that we have one that covers everything.
And I like that one because it takes you to the very basic. Like, for instance, if you're going to make soap, you're dependent on getting lye, and that's difficult to get, especially in the cities. But if you know how to make lye, you know, that's the kind of stuff that she takes you back. So a lot of homestead things out there, I get very frustrated with because it still makes you dependent on going out and purchasing something and not having the knowledge to do something with. Do you have any other resources that you would like to share?
Yes, the LDS warehouse, food warehouses, and I don't know if we touched on this already, but they're a great place for some basic dehydrated foods, and they have a website. I have www.justpeace.org, and I
Now, is
think you
that
can go
peace
in
like
there.
PEACE?
JustPeace, yes, .org, and they have a listing of the places where you can go to they call them the canneries, and you either buy the stuff pre-canned, you have to make an appointment, or you can can them yourself. They'll teach you how to dry can. It's not liquid, it's dry canning, and they have Mylar bags as well, and a good selection of basic dehydrated foods. And the prices are really reasonable. And you used to have to be a Mormon to go to those, but they're open to the public. At least it's been a few years since I've been there, but the last I knew, they were open to the public. And
Yeah, I think it just depends on where you live.
In Michigan, they were open to the public, and I don't know if they, you know, maybe that's different in Utah or something or other places, but
I think a
they.
lot of it is, I think you can still purchase this stuff, but I think what, at least up here, what has been questionable is whether or not you could do the canning.
Okay. Yeah,
So,
that
in other
might
words, if you
be.
buy 50 pounds of weed and you want to break them down and put them in number 10 cans for storage and for incremental sizes, they actually have centers throughout different places that you can go and can your berries or your oats or whatever for long-term storage.
Yeah, and I think you can rent the equipment too. Like I said, it's been a few years since I've been there, but I think you can check it out and take it home to do it at home. So that might be another option. Yeah, health regulations might differ on how you can do that per state or per area. Another good resource, a book, Medicinal and Other Uses of North American Plants by Dover Publications, and How Indians Use Wild Plants for Food, Medicine, and Crafts by Frances Densmore, and How to Make It on the Land, A Complete Guide to Survival in the Country by Ray Cohen.
Yeah, and don't forget that probably, I don't know what the percentage is, but a lot of the Native American Indian tribes, or maybe they weren't originally Native, that's a different subject. But the point is, our American Indians, they are probably, and some of them know that they're from the Lost Tribes of Israel. And this thing being passed down about the herbs and the medicinal, really, I think you can trace that back to, just like you can the essential oils, to how the Kohen and Israelites used those plants for medicine. So keep that in mind.
They have a lot of information on how to truly live off the land. They used everything that they didn't waste. They knew everything had to come from nature, and I think there's a lot of wisdom there. Like you said, they're from the Lost Tribe, so that's exciting too.
Right. And so anyway, okay, any other resources we want to cover?
That's probably good for tonight. We got a huge list, so we'll get
Okay.
some more next time.
All right. And so I'm trying to remember, did we cover eggs?
We did. We are on electronics tonight.
Okay. All right. Electronics. And so you go.
Well, we all know how much do we rely on them. I mean, nowadays, almost anything. Our maps are electronic, our can openers are electronic, our thermometers are electronic, alarm systems, scissors, knives, sewing machines. And these have all been really convenient for people, especially, as you get older and maybe you can't open cans very well or you can't do things very well. But when stuff happens and there's no electricity, all of those things that you need to do that you've been relying on electricity to do are not going to be available.
That's
So we
right.
really need to have backups. Even if you like those things for your life and your convenience, make sure that you have, absolutely have a crank can opener or a P38. Have your maps in paper form, laminated preferably. Don't rely on everything to be electric. This is something that we've really become accustomed to, especially in this country.
Yeah, and especially that can opener.
Yeah, that's a
Really
major. I mean, can you
tough.
imagine having all your stored canned foods and then not being able to open them?
Really.
And
Oh, wow.
thermometers. I mean, that's a really useful tool. I mean, we can usually tell if someone has a fever, but if you really want to know, the actual temperature, if we've got all those digital ones and something were to happen and they didn't work anymore, whether it was batteries or EMP, you'd really want to have an old-fashioned mercury backup. Treat it carefully.
Right. Okay. Now, what about Envirinex? What are we talking here?
That's a brand name of industrial strength peroxide, and I cannot find it. This was given to me by a sister several years ago, but industrial grade or food grade peroxide is 35%, and it's very strong, and it can be used for disinfecting and cleaning, but you have to use caution and you have to use gloves and things, and you might have to dilute it. So I would recommend that you really read the instructions if you're going to use the food grade or industrial grade peroxide. But it can be used for sterilizing and cleaning.
Yes, and I want to say we did cover this a little bit in another show. You usually can find this in the refrigerated section of your local health food store. And we used to buy it in the gallons. And remember, it is food grade and it's very what's it, concentrated. And so I have used this with livestock animals. I use it with humans too, but you have to dilute it. And it's awesome for especially wound care and cleaning things out. You can also, there's a way you can mix them. Usually you get a list. We've used them to deal with ants, and you can use it to put on meat to draw out parasites and worms. If you did that with your meat, you probably wouldn't eat meat too often. But it is something really, really good to use. And you just follow the directions because I think what we get at the store is like 3%.
Yeah, I think so.
And so that is a real powerful tool along with DMSO. And so I would seriously consider that. Just be very careful with it because when it touches your skin, it's just too much at one time and it can burn. All right. So Suzette, we have feminine needs.
Yes, not a nice topic sometimes, but we have to think about that. There's a lot of solutions out there. There's some reusable things, and if you are going to need these, if this is part of you're in that life cycle, think about stocking up or getting things that can be used in place of things you'd have to run to the store to buy. And those things like napkins and things can be used. That's clean cotton wadding usually, and they can also be used for wounds and soaking things up if you need to. So that's another option for those.
And this is another category where strips of used linen or your scraps of linen. I think in ancient Israel they used, linen. What about the sponges?
I haven't tried them, but I know people that use the reusable things. I guess, I'd want to look at the research and see what the, bacterial, is what's the risk of bacterial infection and things like that. But as far as I mean, you'd have to experiment, see what you could use too, what a person was comfortable with using. You're saying like a regular sponge?
Yeah, well, a natural sea sponge, and I have used them way in the past. I just, and there's the astronaut thing. I forget what they call it that you insert that the astronauts use, and I have seen them online. I forget what the name of them is. It's kind of like a long narrow cup that's used in there versus the sponge. My issue with the sponge was reusing it. I mean, you can clean them out, and we're talking about real natural sea sponges. But I just always had an issue with that, and I guess I've never tried the cup, but the cup, like the astronauts and stuff, would be using, and I know it's real popular with the new natural Save the Earth Green people. You do, but you can explore in those, and again, store up on your linens and cottons and even cotton diapers even. But those things are good to consider if just for the simple fact that they're reusable
Yep.
and small and easy to carry.
And the other thing that I don't know, maybe it didn't happen to the Israelites in the wilderness, but I know that women who do heavy athletic training, like myself in basic training with the army, you stop having a cycle. And that's not uncommon if you have real heavy physical taxation on the body. But don't count on it.
Right. And then we have the whole thing, consideration with childbirth.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And that would be an extraordinary amount that you would have to take care of. And like you said, rags, even, we talked about using even, shoulder pads, which are way out of fashion. Anything that could be used, to soak things up. And if you can handle rewashing things like that, you're going to have to, everybody's going to have to use something. So find out what works for you.
And my biggest issue with the sponge things was if you were traveling or even at home, I feel like it would violate the blood laws of what we're supposed to do with blood regarding Torah. And unless you're going to want to wash them out in the toilet, which you're not going to want to do. So that was kind of why I steered away from them. But those are definitely things to consider. And again, if you can stock up, a lot of times, they'll be on sale. So, and you can use them for wound care in case we have gunshot wounds.
Yeah, I've used them for soaking up when I burnt myself, for soaking up the weeping in the wound. Just put some medical tape on the, put it on the right side, put the medical tape to hold it on. Obviously, I wasn't going to stick the sticky part to the wound, but and it worked very well.
Okay. And remember, you might want to have some of whatever you decide to have in your car, in your flea bag, and in your general home storage there.
Yep, and you might use it. I mean, I can imagine that would be in a big supply for people that couldn't get those. So it's also something that if you don't have a use for them, think about if you're preparing for other people in your family or something, or as a barter item.
I was going to say, I think that's a great bartering tool right up there with coffee and toilet
Yeah.
paper for a lot of people. So, okay, what about you're going to talk a little bit about the fire, excuse me, fill fire fuel cubes.
Yes, these are things that you buy. I think we first looked at these during the Y2K thing, but they come in little packages and they kind of look like a small, they're like a little cubish thing and they look like maybe one of those fake logs, but they're an easy way to start a fire and they're not like carrying a real log. They're small, like, you carry it in your hands. And that's something that you could easily throw one in your car and in your flea bag. Or in your general kit and have that to start a fire easy for your kindling.
Now, I've never seen real small ones. What size are you talking here?
The little bag is about maybe a little bit smaller than a sandwich bag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so really portable.
Oh, okay.
And
I
I don't
see. You're
know,
talking
we
about the
bought them
little
during,
tubes,
like I said,
not the
around
logs.
Y2K.
Okay.
I don't know if they're still out there, but I still have ours. We didn't end up using them, obviously, so we still have them around.
You are Yahweh.
You're listening to the Remnant Radio Show with your host, Nitza Moshe. This concludes part A of Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride.